listening to Down by the Bank, a Jacksonville Jaguars podcast with Corey, Derek, and JK3.
All right, welcome to Down by the Bank. This is Corey.
Hey guys, what's up? It's Derek.
Hey, what's up, y'all? It's JK3.
So we got the big news today that the Jaguars have hired their new coach, Urban Meyer. And I know Derek has been a huge proponent of that for the last little while since Doug Marrone was let go. And so I most of all want to hear your thoughts on this new hire that everyone is excited about.
Look, okay, I said it in the last episode. I'm going to say it again. The courtship and engagement was great. The first year or two of marriage is going to be awesome, and the divorce is going to be ugly, okay? Because that is just how, that's the track record he's had at his last two stops at Florida and Ohio State. But here's the one thing we are getting. The Joker only knows three letters in his vocabulary, I think, as far as his letters on the alphabet. That's W-I-N. And I'll take that. Yeah, I was like, yeah, we'll see. I'll admit it. I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, yeah, I wanted Urban first choice. No, I didn't. But I can admit that, hey, he knows how to win. And he's not going to settle for being average. He's not going to settle for mediocrity. So, hey, let's just take it and run with it. Excitement and take it and run with it.
I'm glad you finished that off with, the W-I-N, because – I was going to say, because the last couple stops, he's had it. Well, he had a natty at Florida. He almost had one at Ohio State. So did he? Wait, did he win one at Ohio State?
He had two at Florida and one at Ohio State. You a Gator
fan? How do you not know? Sorry, I had to play a little dumb there. Oh,
yeah, they played a little,
fell right into my trap. Fell right into my trap.
You've been drinking. Whatever.
The little tangled web. Oh, you fell into the trap. No, what? Come on, man. I'm ecstatic about it. A lot of people have been trying to troll me saying good luck having Urban for only 3 years. And I'm like, if he gets us three Lombardis in those three years, I'm happy with it. Build this guy a stadium or a statue outside the stadium. I'm good with it, but I'm sure we'll get into it. But we do got to talk about Corey and your side gig with the modeling. What's up with that?
That's a bizarre transition.
I'm not good at those.
Yeah, no. What they're referring to? Yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
We need to stick to the coach, okay? In a later episode, we're going to talk about Corey being a child model for Little Champ and Barnett Bank, actually, which has come back into the news after being closed for the last 30 years. So
that would have been the transition, the Barnett Bank thing. That would have been
great. You were the envy of my childhood with your 101 Dalmatian photo shoot. Because everyone used to go through the Sears catalog that your grandma used to get and say, oh, I want my room to be this. And it was like the 101 Dalmatians. Like, you had the sheets, you had the curtains, the duvet cover, all that stuff, man. So I need to know a little bit about that.
All right. Yeah, what we'll do is we'll release a special episode next week solely based on my background and career as an extremely successful child model. But today we'll have to...
It's a E! Hollywood true story.
Yeah. Exactly. And by the way, there is one picture I haven't released to you guys yet. It's me in like the Little Champ outfit with like the boxing gloves and and everything. Anyway, my favorite part of the coaching search, or any coaching search really, that I found, I tend to find most fun, especially on Twitter, are the people that are trying to like figure out, if they're flying on a plane to come and analyzing their travel schedules and everything to try to put the dots together as to who we're hiring. And my favorite thing today, I think it was Edilla maybe, and then he got posted by the media. We were kind of chatting about that on the group text, is that picture of him getting off the plane. And then they had, I don't know if you saw this picture, but it's Urban Meyer getting off the plane at whatever airport in town. And they've got like the little tiny like kitchen mat looking Jaguars mat that he steps onto that like says Stand United. So it's like some like 5 year old Jaguars mat.
Yeah.
So see, I told y'all a long time ago that true Jaguar fans, and now that we know, even the owner, he shops at Ross and TJ Maxx to get his bag. Because that's where that mat came from. I told y'all that about 4 years ago.
All right. It had to be. So you know that like Urban Meyer's getting off the plane looking at this mat like, what the hell? And then he goes and takes a tour of the stadium and the practice facility. He's like, yeah, I'm not doing this unless you spend $1 billion on upgrades around this place. Which I've heard, I don't know if that's true or not, but I've heard the, not $1 billion, but I've heard there's been some questions around, you know, some requests that he had to make sure that the practice facility specifically met the standards that he had in Ohio State, because apparently our facilities aren't as good as college programs.
Well, I'll tell that we know the mayor's office isn't involved in that.
Urban is going to need a place for him to literally stay and sleep at. I guarantee you there's going to be a doctor on call there for him also. you know, that all these things are in the contract. But no, I'm super excited, man. I'm excited because of the pedigree that comes with it. I'm excited for the brand that comes with Urban Meyer. And I'm excited with a lot of the national exposure. You know, this is one of the things yes. that Jaguars have done that's going to continue to put them in the map and, you know, put them on the map and keep us relevant in the national, you know, media spotlight. And with these things come, you know, your primetime games. If you're talking about a team all the way through the off season, you know, people want to either see the success or they want to see the failure. Either way, ESPN is going to find a way to put us on a national spotlight with at least one or two games, you know, within primetime. I think it's also an opportunity too, with the number one draft pick and all these draft picks that we've been able to amass, to make a bigger case for it. And if we get Hard Knocks, oh my gosh.
Oh, that would be cool. We should do that.
Hard Knocks would be insane, man, to be, and to have them cover the team, you know, cover, you know, the kind of, you know, courting of Urban. The whole thing through training camp, man, I mean, it's awesome right now. It's awesome to be a Jags fan. It's like yesterday I was 1-15. Today I'm 16-0. So I'm happy, happy right now.
You know, a lot of people, you know, when you look at, you know, oh, the game doesn't translate to college and, you know, scheme and all those good things. That doesn't matter because Urban Meyer is more of a CEO type coach. He's a player's coach, one. If you don't think he's a player's coach, take a look at all the former, current, or now current, and players that didn't play for him on social media tonight, making positive comments about the guy.
Yeah, I didn't realize that, by the way. I didn't realize he had that kind of connection with the players.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. That's the first thing. So he's a player's coach. He's a CEO. He's going to let his OC call the plays. He's going to let his DC call the plays. He's a motivator. That's his strongest, you know, strong suit there. Another thing is when you take a look at the opportunity and the fact that he's got a chance to probably go down as one of the best coaches of the modern era. And, you know, everyone, when you say best head coaches, you think, you know, in college it's Nick Saban. But NFL, Nick Saban didn't do so well. There's been a lot of coaches that have done well in college and tried to go to the NFL and didn't really make it. There's only a handful, two that I know of in the last 30 plus years that have actually won a national title and a Super Bowl. That's Pete Carroll and Jimmy Johnson. You could say Barry Switzer, but Barry Switzer Miles doesn't count because Jimmy Johnson built that team and Jerry Jones is a moron for firing Jimmy Johnson. That's a different story. Point is that Urban Meyer is a competitor. And he could be looking at this as, well, hey, I've got three national titles. I've built, you know, I've you know, gotten two programs up off the mat and, you know, we won. What can I do it to an NFL team? That's what these guys live for. That's how they tick. That's how they think. And think about this. This could be the greatest challenge that a coach has ever faced with our team. Imagine us raising the Lombardi Trophy with him. He would be looked at as one of the top coaches of all time.
Yeah.
If you said Newt Rockne, you'd have to say Urban Meyer. Okay. Or, you know, I know Newt Rockne was just college, but remember the NFL wasn't around back then. You know, you say Vince Lombardi, you'd have to say Urban Meyer, you know?
Derek, from like a competitiveness standpoint, do you think that he's – I have to imagine he looks at himself in competition with Nick Saban, and there's not any way at this point he's probably going to compete with him on college football national championships. But this would be a way to say, hey, I'm the better coach because I've done it on both levels.
Yeah, it would be. And it would and it would clear a debate. And, yeah, who's really debating about this? You know, we don't – you know, nobody is. They're not really talking about it. But these are how these coaches, these, you know, players, this is how they tick, how they think. And in his eyes, he's like, all right, I've beaten Nick in college twice. I really took it to him with my Ohio State team. What if I did something he couldn't do? What if I try to win a Super Bowl? You know? And, oh, you guys are nuts. You know, Jags fans nuts. You know, Super Bowl – well, Herm Edwards said a long time ago, you play to win the game. You know, what are they just here to go 9-7 and have the rookie of the year quarterback? No, they want to win. They want to win the ring. That's the whole point. You know, obsessed with winning. That's and that's what we need as a team. We're not obsessed with winning. We're just obsessed with getting better, having a bunch of draft picks, and then, you know, finding diamond in the roughs. I swear, we found more diamond in the roughs as we've sucked the last 3 years than I've ever seen.
And we haven't been able to keep them.
Yeah. Even when they do, you know, it's the craziest thing. And then the last point is, I feel like Urban Meyer, you know, like I said, he wasn't my first choice, in my opinion. But if he can bring that culture change and show the Jags, he can show Khan, like, this is how you win. This is how you do it. Sure. You know, everybody can learn something here. Yeah. Because
he's always been my first choice because of the brand. You know, Urban is like Diet Coke. You know, he is what people, you know, people love. Some people hate it, but, you know, people, one thing you can all agree on is that it's a brand. And that's what Urban is. You know, a lot of things that I've kind of fielded from and kind of defended, you know, from a couple of the outside friends and, you know, family that I know that have been kind of doubting this hire. You know, number one has been the health, you know, which he can't control. Okay, I understand that. You know, he's susceptible to, you know, assist, from what I understand, that he can't control. Okay. That's great. He can't control that. Number two, it's been the character issues that have been surrounding Urban Meyer. And the surrounding him, he hasn't been caught up in them. He hasn't done the things. Like, granted, yeah, he had Hernandez down in Florida. I mean, was Urban driving around doing those things? Absolutely not.
Not that we know of. Hernandez,
yeah, but was Hernandez going out and, you know, was going down as arguably one of the greatest tight ends in Florida history? Yeah. You know, Ohio State, he was quote unquote running. He knew of, you know, domestic violence and quote unquote allowed it to be happening. Absolutely not. I don't know what you're doing at home. You're coming in here every day. You're doing your job. And that's all that matters here. You know? So I think those things have been, you know, kind of following him and used as a scapegoat. But the end of the day is that one thing that you cannot deny is that this man wins football games. It makes him sick to lose. Like, repeat that. He's not okay with losing. It is bad for his health. It's not good for him to lose. And the programs that he's turned around, Bowling Green, Utah, Florida, Ohio State, he has proven that whatever he's got and whatever he has, that he buys into the players and how he relates to the players is going to, you know, it is going to work. He's 56 years old. He's about the age of what most of these players, you know, would have as far as a father figure or a dad figure and everything else like that goes. And then you really just take about the pedigree. You take about what he's doing and what he's learned. And then instantly he comes in and the culture changes. We talk about culture for you know, this last year, this 1-15 losing culture and everything else like that, the culture immediately switches to we win with him coming in because he's done it before. He has the pedigree of winning. That's what a winner does. They come in and they instantly change the spot from when they step into the stadium. He stepped into the stadium, automatically demanded that the facilities get changed. Facilities weren't good enough for him. And if I'm Khan, I'm looking back at this like, damn, excuse my language, but if this guy's coming in from Ohio State University and he's coming to the NFL and he's already telling me that my facilities are crap, I mean, if that's one of the things that I mean, come on, man, that's an eye raiser right there, man.
Right,
you got someone who's complacent with, you know, the dungeon what they're in right now, or you got Urban coming in saying, you know what, hey man, I need to be up here instead of this dog park. This needs to be my office right here. Mm-hmm. Take the dog park out, put my desk and the projector here, and we're good. You know, we need to go down. Oh, you got a Dreamfinders home right here? Oh, okay, cool. Go ahead and move that somewhere else where all of our fans are. I'm going to put my defensive coordinator, my defensive staff right here. Oh, on this side right here for the you got an obstacle course right here for fans to run through. Yeah, we're gonna kill all that. And this is where my offensive staff is going to be right here.
No, I like it. That's funny. That's interesting. One thing, Derek, that you mentioned that I'm curious about your thoughts on, because I know you were a big Cowboys guy back in the day, and the Nick Saban NFL comparison is the biggest fear I have. But to kind of – one of the things that makes me feel more comfortable about it is I've heard that he's going to hire more NFL – maybe previous NFL head coaches as assistants on his staff. But the player personnel part is the thing that I'm most interested in, because you made a point about Jimmy Johnson and Jerry Jones and their relationship and how they built that team. Was Jimmy Johnson, I just don't know, was he part of that like heavily involved in that player personnel process?
Yeah. Okay.
So is that kind of the comparison that you would make to this and the way Urban Meyer's coming in?
Yeah, so except Jimmy didn't have the picks at first. He had to trade Herschel Walker, I think it was, to get the picks. He traded Herschel Walker for like something like 5 or 6 picks. It's like the modern day Ricky Williams trade that Ditka made years ago with the Saints. And I shouldn't say modern day, but you know, that's the last one in recent memory. And he drafted like – he had like 5 picks out of it. I'm pretty sure like all 5 of them went to the Pro Bowl like in 2 years. So his first year, he went like 1-15. Second year, I think they went 8-8. And I think the third year, they won the Super Bowl. And they broke up because Jerry Jones, being the moron that he is, got mad that Jimmy Johnson was getting all the credit, not him. So – and he wanted more control. And I think that's why Dallas is cursed, because I swear it's like a Jimmy Johnson curse, because they haven't done crap since, and they will never do it until that man is off this earth or sells the team. Point is, back to Urban Meyer, it's a similar feel, but in a sense, Urban Meyer has all the picks in cap room now. He doesn't have to trade away his best player.
It's the perfect storm.
It's the perfect situation. Yeah, you got, 11 picks? 4 in the top 45, whatever it is, you got the number 1 pick, and you've got a generational quarterback coming out of college. So that's another thing, too. If Trevor Lawrence isn't coming out of college and we don't have all those picks, I really don't know if he takes the job.
But, Derek,
as a Florida State fan, Derek, and as a Gator fan, anyone else, imagine what Urban is going to do with LaVishka. Just imagine how creative – if you think Percy Harvin was a problem, imagine what he is going to have with a more explosive LaVishka Chenault. Like it's insane. Imagine how he's going to be able to take the top off of a offense with, you know, the potential. I mean, I won't even give you Kyle Pitts as a tight end. Imagine getting Brevin Jordan from Miami. You know, probably the second best tight end in the draft, or you know, take in DJ Chark, and then they get another bona fide number 2 receiver, you know, in the draft. And this isn't even talking about the free agency players that he's going to be able to get. This is a true culture change. This is how you change the culture. It starts from the top, and it comes all the way down the bottom. You start with Urban Meyer. You start with the intrigue of playing with this guy and the winning and the will being able to go ahead and put it together. And then you get the pieces to put in play. Then if T-Law comes out and he's that leader that we think he's going to be and that everyone says that he is, it's the perfect storm.
I guess what I'm trying to say, though, and the reason I bring up the Jimmy Johnson comparison is because I'm trying to play devil's advocate in that, is it a good thing necessarily that you, because in most cases it's not, that you have the head coach come in who's also essentially in charge of all the player personnel too, who's hiring the GM, which is somewhat backwards. Urban Meyer hasn't been in this situation before. He's recruited college kids, but he's had his pick of who he wants, and now it's a little bit different dynamic.
Yeah, well, first of all, is Balky not staying? Like, have they announced that yet? They haven't announced that. We don't, you know, I thought he was. Who knows? We'll let the Twitter finger warriors figure that out, that know everything. But
you get my point, though? There has to be a little bit of a worry about him having too much control.
Yeah, but most guys that think like that that have to win, that must win, are also control freaks. So,
well, I don't think he's going to be a Bill O'Brien. Like, there's no way.
No, I don't think he's going that far. It's not going.
There's no way he's going to be a Bill O'Brien. There's no way he's a Jimmy Johnson. But I think that he will be looked at as a person of, can this player fit in your scheme of chess? Can this person fit where we need them to be? Is this the type of offensive lineman that you're looking for to be able to run the type of offense that you want? Is this the type of defensive lineman that we need to fit fit whoever's defensive scheme? I think from a player personnel and what he's looking for within a player, I think that may be, more on Urban. And the GM may be able to kind of collaborate there. But I think it's more – I think Urban is going to have more of a – I think he's going to have more of a weight on who gets picked up and what they need based off of his type of scheme that he's looking to run. Mm-hmm. And this is all just early, hypothesis, but – I think the thing that Khan, too, is taking out is that no one's getting contracts, no one's getting deals or second contracts or anything without Urban's approval, the vote of approval, and running it up the shot. Because apparently, players were getting contracts and, players were getting let go without Shad's knowledge of contracts and everything else like that. And apparently he wants everything to be bubbled up to him. He wants to know everything that's going on within the players. If he wants that type of, visibility, he wants that type of reporting, he's got to be more active of an owner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's learned his lesson. Marone,
mm-hmm. Yeah, the Marone stuff that happened, like 2017, we can all agree, was a fluke. You had a great defense that was put together, and look what happened to it. No one's here except for Miles Jack.
What a shame.
They're all gone. they're all gone, and they're all in the playoffs with the exception of Boye. Or Church.
Miles Jack and DeJuan Smoot are the only ones on the team, still left from that,
The craziest part of that whole thing, and we're not dwelling on the past because we're focused on the future, is when you think back to that year and then you think back to a lot of the things that happened, how this team fell apart, all the players that left, they all had some parting comments from Ngakoue to Ramsey, and especially Jalen Ramsey, because he was very vocal. He got up on the podium and cursed and said some things, and most people thought he was a spoiled little baby. But what's funny? Anything he said was wrong. Like, if he had said it in a more mature manner, like, everything he said was pretty much nailed, spot on how the organization was being run. And then look at it now, Urban Meyer, he brings that sense of excitement. He does. And I'll admit that. But you're right, Corey. He's never done this before. So this is also a new challenge to him. And he knows it. He's aware of it. The NFL game, it's still football, but it's different because now it's not recruiting and going into kids' homes and trying to get their parents and them their confidence in you. It's money.
I wish I knew.
There is a recruiting aspect of it, though, because Urban is not that far removed where he may have reached out to some of the players that are either on the team or on in free agency and was like, hey, I couldn't get you to come to Florida, or hey, I couldn't get you to come to Alabama. Come play for me now.
No, he's not lying. Because now
he could build off of that. He could build off that. You know, you had your uncle, you had somebody else that was in your corner telling you to go to Florida, or telling you to go to Ohio State, or you know, whatever school was. But he's not that far removed from the game to where some of these players that he may have looked at film on, or he may have sent letters, or he may have had phone calls on, or he may have had to recruit, are now in the position to where they could be getting second contracts, or they could be getting, you know, an opportunity to, you know, to actually play under him. And it's, remember what I was trying to get you to do at Ohio State, or remember what I was trying to get you to come to Florida for, or, you know, anyone that would have wanted a call from Urban Meyer or that wants to play for a coach like him. Now he's got the ultimate leverage. Make some money and play for me.
Mm-hmm.
You were coming to college. You were coming for the jump man, you know, cleats and everything else like that. You were coming for all the rah-rah and to say that you played at this school and everything. Now you're coming to make money. And with money, and the more money, you're going to get it here, and money in the NFL is the ultimate factor. So, yeah, you're going to get paid. You're going to get that game check on Tuesday, every Tuesday. But what about that bonus when you make the Pro Bowl? What about that bonus when you hit, you know, X amount of receiving yards? What about that playoff bonus? What about that Super Bowl bonus? If money is the ultimate, it's all about finding the carrot. If the carrot for some of the players that you're able to connect to and find that, if money is the carrot, now he's like, all right, cool. You come here. This is what type of offense we're going to run. This is how I'm going to use you. Now, are you going to go ahead and get out there and get it? All I can do is put you in the position to make sure that you can do this. And now you can get your bonus. You can get this. Now we're getting paid. Everybody's getting paid now.
I can pay you way more than at Ohio State.
Well not right. That. Also, look at this too. Every single free agent, and I shouldn't say every single one, but a high percentage of them, we're now in play. They will at least give us a listen just because of him.
Yeah.
Over the last, you know, 10 years, hey, we want to give you $40 million. Nah, I'll take 20 and go to Baltimore because I don't feel like dealing with you guys. It's not the case anymore.
And on top of that, Derek, and on top of that, the way that you mentioned too is that the regime about – we've had the NFLPA saying don't come to Jacksonville because of the hefty fines that you may get.
Yep.
That regime is gone. We've had the regime of don't come to Jacksonville because they're not going to pay you. That regime is gone. We've had the don't come to Jacksonville because of the facilities. Hopefully they change the facilities and get that straightened out. And then we've had the don't come to Jacksonville because there's nothing there. Now you've got a good foundation with James Robinson. You've got a good foundation in DJ Chark. You've got a good foundation in LaVishka. There are players here. And then you got the coach.
Yeah.
And if he depending on what his staff comes out to, let's just say some of his staff comes out to be. Let's say he decides to get Wade Phillips as a defensive coordinator. Wade Phillips is a legend.
He can build a defense. Yeah, he can build a defense.
Let's say you decide to get Charlie Strong, defensive coordinator. He can build the defense. You know, so now Urban is going to come in, and he's going to bring, again, what I mentioned too, the brand. He's going to bring more high-profile, you know, coaches, high-profile coordinators, high-profile people that are going to come in and want to coach underneath him and prove themselves to be, you know, worthy of coaching in the NFL. Not only is he trying to prove himself that he's worthy of coaching in the NFL, but then everyone else underneath him is going to be trying to prove they're worthy in the NFL. And if you have that culture of trying to prove and worthiness and trying to win, if everyone's trying to win, and we're not trying to talk about winning lunch like Tom Coughlin was saying, but if everyone's trying to win tangible ball games and trying to prove themselves, it's going to be good. Urban cannot fail because of the amount of publicity and the amount of criticism that this job already has attached to it. People are already looking for him to fail right now. People are already doubting him in Jacksonville. You think he wants to go to if he's upset with losing a game, imagine how he's going to sleep with thinking that Adam Schefter is writing a column about him that's going to be posted on ESPN. There's no way he can sleep with that.
Or having to face the grueling Jacksonville local media.
Oh, yeah.
That's going to be a love fest, by the way.
How am I going to handle this question from Jeff Prosser?
Yeah, that's going to be that's the thing I think that also helps, to be honest with you, is the fact that think of it compared to if he were to become the New York Jets head coach, for example. I mean, the pressure is just not nearly as much. I mean, there's not nearly as much, you know, raining down on him for whatever mistakes that he makes or, you know, whatever it is. I mean, it's just it's a better environment.
He will have to deal with Vito, and Vito will get on his tail.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, he probably considered that before he took the job. I don't know.
With Vito?
Yeah. So, and then, you know, I guess we'll probably jump back on here, you know, relatively soon, because I'm sure the announcements about additional coaches being hired on the staff will be coming. And, you know, I think the press conference is tomorrow, so maybe some interesting insights will come from that. But to kind of finish off, maybe we should just quickly touch base on the Lot J stuff. I know both of you had pretty strong opinions on it because we spent probably 45 minutes before we even started recording talking about that, oddly enough. You know, what's the deal, JK3? I mean, I know that you tweeted Lenny to see if we're going to rebuild that overpass. Is that happening or not?
Bro, how do you destroy an overpass before the deal is done? I don't get that. I don't get that. How do you destroy the overpass? Now, granted, I live in, you know, I live out in the Orange Park area, so I've never taken that overpass coming in. But what about some of the people that are coming from the Arlington area? Like, are you gonna put that back up? The Lot J thing and all the upward mobility and all the upward development. The best thing that he said is, if you win, it will come. If the way that, I mean, anyone that has tickets or anyone that has season tickets right now, I guarantee you probably at least 50% of those folks have put their deposit down on their season tickets today. New people have called in and said they want to put their deposit down on their season tickets just because of the hype of Urban Meyer and Trevor Lawrence. They haven't won a single game yet, and I guarantee you they have had more ticket renewals tonight than they had last year and the year before last.
I did find earlier today.
This may rival 2017 when they're coming off of the playoff, off of the AFC Championship, you know, Miles Jack wasn't down thing. I mean, 2018 was crap, you know, but I guarantee you everyone had their tickets and was ready to go on 2018 and try to cash in on it. 2019 was baloney. 2020 was coronavirus. You know, so now there's a thirst for it right now. So long answer short, if they win, Lot J and any upward development within the city is going to be a no-brainer. You put a winning football team on the field, you get whatever you want. And I think Shad Khan is finally, that light bulb is clicked off, you know, in his head, and let him know that if you're connected to the team, no one's connected him to the Edgewood Bakery, Mustache Investments, all these other little things that he's got going on in the city. They connect him with the team and the boat that he has. You know, that's it. He knows he's known for the Jaguars and the yacht. If the Jaguars do well, he won't have any issue getting whatever he wants in this city. Guaranteed.
Eric, I thought Lenny Curry said that when he's in, he wins. I don't really understand what happened there. I'm confused.
Oh, man. He takes big L's. That's what that is. He take big L's, and you need to be worried about some other things and not that. And getting on the radio and all that stuff, man. Bottom line is this. Everybody said it, okay? You've probably read it. You've probably heard it. I'm going to say it for you one more time. Get the mayor's office out of this situation, Jags and the city come together with an agreement that's beneficial and transparent for the taxpayers, and I'm going to raise my hand because I am a taxpayer here, real estate wise, sales tax, whatever, you know, what, however you want to spin it. Okay, so I can say it for the taxpayers and for the team. They're going to get it done without that office, that political office. Trust me, they're going to get it done. They could get it done. They could get start working on it tomorrow. You know, that's what I hear. It could happen tomorrow. There's a lot of, you know, people angry on both sides that, you know, some people don't even want the Jags here. They can go fly a kite because, I'm sorry, Florida Georgia is not going to make the revenue that we need to build this city. So get over it. And there's people that are mad because, you know, we didn't get that project, but that's okay. Because now we get room for whatever, you know, there's, you know, you still got the shipyards. And I think with that being said, you know, there's still people that think, oh, he's still going to move the team like me. You know, he wouldn't be doing all this development if he was thinking about moving the team. You know, he's just trying to maximize his asset. You know, he's trying to maximize the value and return on his asset. Which at that time was London. So let's prove him wrong. Let's, you know, try and get these games back. Let's go to the game, yeah, and support building around the stadium. So where we could prove him wrong that he doesn't have to go across the pond to, you know, get some revenue, you know, to sell 100,000 tickets.
All he's got to do is win.
Yeah. And winning cures everything. And I'd say out of all the coaches that were available, if your main goal is to win, you know, he's picked a good one. That's for sure. They definitely picked a good one.
You made a good point about the London stuff, because this could be a turning point to kind of unravel some of that. Because somebody even had a theory out there that maybe he would try to negotiate away from having so many games over there just because of the competitive aspect of it. You know, there's a lot of theories that even though we play one or two games and we're there more than other teams, that it's still a disadvantage because of all the travel and that sort of stuff.
In my opinion, the stadium upgrades come first. You make it to where people want to make where your core fans and people want to come to the game. Right now, the only crazy people that are out there are the diehards that are suffering in that heat, which we've talked about multiple times. You put some type of dome, some type of tarp system, something that, like, similar to what Miami has down there to give people a break from the sun and make it more appealing for them to come to. And then you have that. That's one notch in your belt. You put a winning product on the team or on the field. That's another notch in your belt right there. So with the stadium upgrades and putting a winning, product on the field, Lot J, the shipyards, you know, whatever name you want to, you know, attach to it and everything else like that, that all that stuff will come. You know, no one wants to, you know, if the Jaguars are the focal point of it, of the game. I've seen way too many people that have sat in my section that go into Daly's place to watch the game on a screen just because they cannot handle the heat and they are from Florida. You know, that is ridiculous. So right. if we're looking to add any type of upgrade, it needs to happen internally before they spread it outwards. So they need to go ahead and put some type of, you know, some type of sun deterrent or above the stadium or some type of, you know, revitalization into the stadium first, and then spread that out to either the shipyards or Lot J, whatever they want to call it. Spread that out, you know, make it, take care of the inside first, take care of the fans that are, you know, your core generators, the people that are buying the season tickets. And you, again, I would love to have somebody on from the ticket office to tell us how late they're working tonight. You know, how many pizzas have been delivered to that stadium tonight because they can't field the call.
Well, I mean, you can sense the excitement and the enthusiasm. I think even listening to you guys talk about all this, and it's a huge shift from, you know, our tone the last couple of years. That's for sure. You know, because we've been doing this podcast since, what, 2016? And I think there's maybe been one season where we've had some sort of positivity going on. JK3 was sharing the pictures of him in Pittsburgh. I think that was our one year that we actually talked positively on here. So this is kind of exciting to kind of, you know, do that again.
Yeah, no, it's been so, I think I hit the low point this weekend before they announced it. Like, I just didn't want to even hear anything until they decided to hire a new coach. I think it was James Coleman put out a tweet on how many players from the 2017 team were still in the playoffs. It's like seven of them, right? Six or seven of them, I want to say.
Yeah.
That when I saw that, I'm like, you know what, man? I got nothing. I got nothing, man. I'm done.
Yeah. On top of that, how do you let go? How do you let go of a all pro player? And we'll just say his name, Jalen. Like, to my, that has been one of the most frustrating things ever that this franchise has done, is that you've let an all pro player go.
Mm-hmm. Franchise player, like
you straight
guy. Yeah.
Well, you know, some people thought that, you know, he was, you know, not playing well. He wasn't that good. Really digging into the stats and the numbers, showing and proving that he wasn't that good. And I'm like, numbers can, you know, the yes, analytics has become part of the game, but it's not everything. And if you look at how many receivers that dude has shut down, it's ridiculous. He's shut down some great receivers multiple times. Okay, DK Metcalf is 6 inches taller than him, probably is about 30 to 40 pounds heavier than him, and can run faster than him. So all the physical aspects have been checked in favor of DK Metcalf. But what that dude brings to the table, or he brought to the table, was being that dog, that guy that can get under their skin. And so it's just that's what we need. We need some dogs on the team, man. Something. We don't have any. We got
the excuse for DK was that, you know, Russell hasn't been playing the best game that he has. Now Jalen has his test this weekend with Davante Adams and Aaron.
No.
You don't think so?
No, I think he has the best. This is his best test as far as facing quarterback. Aaron Rodgers, you know, most people could say Russell's better. Most people say Aaron Rodgers better. I think Aaron Rodgers better. Aaron, yeah. Aaron versus, you know. But anyway, point is, you know, letting those guys go was just, you know, it was heartbreaking. And then you Calais, too. Calais was huge. He was the heart and soul of the team. He's the heart and soul of the team, and that was huge. And
the mayor,
you know, they put those guys and everybody, you know, they were confident they can win with this group. And of course, they paraded Marone out there as they usually did, and the old Pipsqueak Caldwell hid behind a curtain as he usually did. And 1-15 later, they're not here, and we got a coach that loves to win. So that's just it, man. I'm done,
bro. The funniest part about this is that Doug Marone, a coach that went 1-15, calls Shad Khan and asks him about the Urban Meyer stuff. Shad says that, oh, this is news to me. And then like 2 weeks later, he hires the guy.
Especially because there's all these reports that they, in fact, had definitely been communicating. So he just like straight up lied.
They've been talking for a month, man. And like that's so funny to me that it happened that way. I mean, it's not funny that it happened to. I mean, it's funny, but it's not funny. It's funny on the sense that like, you know, you're doing a piss poor job, a bad job of your role, and you have the audacity to call your boss and say, "Hey, am I getting fired?"
Are you talking to one of the more successful coaches in modern football history?
Yeah. Are you am I going to get fired? Oh, what? No, nah, man, this is news to me. And then you get fired on Black Monday, and then 8 days later from that, they hire the guy that you the guy that they told you not to worry about.
Yeah, it's pretty messed up. I'll finish with this. I think the biggest gauge for the success of the team financially, and you know, aside from winning, is going to be whether that advertisement right below the scoreboard, the Dick's Wing advertisement, changes to something more substantial. Because every shot online right now is the big scoreboard shot that you're seeing. Like, I think even Adam Schefter shared it, and it's got the "Welcome to Jacksonville, Urban Meyer" message on the board and the giant Dick's Wings logo behind, you know, below it.
Oh,
it's like, come on,
bro! They have to sell way more Cajun Ranch wings to keep that product. Because T Law's coming too, and so you know that same thing with Trevor Lawrence is going to be there, and little old Dick's Wings is going to be right there too. They got to pay more. They need to get that out of there, man. At least put Kilwins, like a good ice cream company that's local here in Jacksonville, like up there, or European Street Cafe. You know, a nice place, man. Dick's Wings, come on.
Yeah. Sorry, you like Dick's Wings, Derek? Is that why you look upset? We're hating on you?
No, I'm shaking my head because you guys are right. I'm thinking of companies. I'm thinking of like trash companies that are here locally that you could put aside before you.
Dick's Wings. We're talking about food, and you're going to garbage.
Yeah,
on, yeah.
I don't, yeah. Derek. Derek,
put anything there.
The optics of putting a trash company logo is probably not good.
My point is, there's other companies that have a larger presence that you could put. Local companies here that have grown, that are homegrown, and maybe that's why he's doing it. Maybe because it's locally owned and operated. If you wanted to stick to restaurants, and you know, I'm just being silly about trash companies, you could put the Loop there. I'd rather see the Loop before
I was gonna say Dick's Wings aren't even the best wings here, and this is a whole nother podcast. But
yeah, you
know, if you're gonna put the best local company there, you need to put the best local company there that everybody knows about.
Yeah, so that would be, you know, that would be something. They've definitely stepped up. You know, they've had a ton of advertisements, you know, the stadium the last couple of years, just so much ad revenue. And rightfully so, but maybe, you know, make sure it's all local. I think it, for the most part it is, but, you know, make sure it's local. And like JK3 said, the best local companies, you know, they always have the Jack's Best or, you know, whatever it is, that contest, you know, that
Does it have to be local, though? Why does it have to be local? I mean, why not try to get the most money you can from national companies? I don't understand.
I mean, you know, we still got the small town mentality here that we've been so desperately trying to get rid of.
We got to get rid of it. No more Dick's Wings. It's got to be like Amazon or Microsoft or something.
Amazon, you know what I mean? It's the last thing we need is another Amazon.
There is a local apparel company that would probably fit really well within that scope that they haven't taken advantage of. But you know, we'll stick with Dick's Wings.
Oh jeez,
bro, their wings aren't even that good. Like, how do they get?
No, I'm laughing because you've been hung up on this now for like 2 years.
Yeah.
Like, it's not, they're not even good.
To the point where you said they got to sell a lot of Cajun grill.
Bro, I would take Player's Grill there instead of Dick's Wings. Even Wing It. I would take Wing It there.
What about Wingstop with Leon Searcy? What about Wingstop?
Wingstop.
Weren't they going to put Buffalo Wild Wings in the Lot J thing or something?
Bro, so the Lot J thing. And another thing, too, about that, man, I'm not going downtown for a BW3s or you know, I'll go down for a Shake Shack. If they put a Shake Shack there, that'd be one thing. But I'm not going down for something that I can get here in Orange Park. Like, that's not going to lure me downtown. You know, what's going to lure me downtown is someplace where I can, you know, go, you know, eat, kind of shop. What lures me out to the town center? You know, I go to the town center for Jay Alexander's, and to, you know, kind of walk and see what new stores are out there. You know, maybe grab a a polo or something like that, and that's it. You know, I'm going there because I have to go there for that type of that store, that type of service. You know, I'm not going to the town. I mean, even in the town center, they have a BW3Z. I've never even been to that one. I would never.
Yeah, no, that's a thing. I really didn't follow the Lot J stuff as much as I probably should have, but I guess it doesn't matter now because we're going to move on to other things. But all right, well, I guess we'll wrap it up there. The press conference is tomorrow, so you know there might be some more news to come from that. But hopefully, the additional coaching hires start occurring here soon, just so we can chat about that a little bit, because I think that's another exciting component of it, is to see who he brings on board. And then, of course, we're just awaiting the draft when he takes Ohio State quarterback Justin Fields first overall. It'll be great.
Boy, you better stop.
Yeah, come on now. Come on now.
That's what everybody's saying, because they're erroneously saying that he coached Justin Fields at Ohio State, which is not true.
No, it's not true. He may have recruited him. Yeah, everybody, you know, everybody was recruiting that kid and that year.
Even Netflix was recruiting him. He was on the Netflix special that
QB1. Justin Fields is going to be a high draft pick, but Trevor Lawrence checks all the boxes. And some, with not only just the way he's played and the games he's played in, but just the fact of the mental part of it, which has got to be there. Where Justin Fields has had some slips, you know, there, but that doesn't matter. He's still going to be great. He's still going to be, you know, high picking. He has the potential to be great. They both do, but I'd rather take Trevor Lawrence over Justin Fields. That. The whole Ohio State allegiance stuff. If they say, "Oh well, you know, the spread and running quarterback," and I'm like, "No, that has nothing to do with it." It's a no brainer. If he comes here and he picks Justin Fields over Trevor Lawrence at the first pick, that's gonna be shocking. He's gonna shock everybody.
Bro,
to California,
bro. You know, tomorrow somebody's gonna ask him that.
Yeah, you know.
Somebody's going to ask him that. I guarantee he's going to be a hacker, too, from like someone's going to ask him that question.
Yeah. Because you're, you know, ex-Ohio State coach and you should be an Ohio State homer, where do you think that we should pick Justin Fields instead of – come on.
That's horrible.
No.
I think Urban Meyer will probably just play it off. You know, we still got to evaluate the tape and make sure we're taking the best possible play. You know what I mean? Like, I'm sure we'll get no real answers on any of that kind of specific stuff.
Good. Don't show your hand, man. We need
to. We're used to it. For 16 games, Marone paraded out Mike Glennon and, you know, Jake Luton and told us that they gave us the best chance to win. So we're used to the smoke and mirrors.
Yeah. Right. All right. Well, we'll wrap it up there. Appreciate you guys for listening. Remember to follow us on Twitter, and we're on Apple Podcasts, all other podcast platforms. We have an OnlyFans. Be sure to subscribe on there as well.
No, we
got one of them. Yeah, it came out a few weeks ago. So be sure to subscribe on there. And otherwise, we'll talk to you guys next time.